Welcome back to News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. For years, African Americans have flocked to Atlanta in search of economic and social opportunities. Now it's becoming a mecca for immigrants from all over the African diaspora. Thousands of people of Caribbean descent are trading in the hustle and bustle of northeastern cities like New York for the southern hospitality of Atlanta, while an increasing number of African immigrants are leaving their homelands and relocating to the southern city. So, for immigrants, is Atlanta the shining city on the hill, or is it just another big American city with too many dreams and not enough opportunities? And how are African and Caribbean Americans mixing with native-born Americans? For more, we're joined by Misale Ayele, an immigration attorney. She's originally from Ethiopia. And Jason Walker, a journalist and community activist. He's a native of Jamaica. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very, very much. It's wonderful to be here. I've been a fan for so long.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for
now. Thank you, Misale. Now, over the past two decades, thousands of African and Caribbean immigrants have moved to Atlanta. Jason, the Caribbean population is growing rapidly. So what is it about Atlanta that makes it attractive?
Well, it's a combination of many factors. It started in the early 70s with some New Yorkers who had braved to travel to the South. And they basically told their friends. And the bottom line is this, what they were paying for rent with a little apartment, small apartment, they found they could pay for mortgage for a huge house and a huge huge land. But two really big factors really sparked everything. The carnival, which is now in its 20th year, the Atlanta Carnival, which is now it's actually the first carnival on the North American continent each year. So hundreds of thousands of Caribbean people come from all over the world for the carnival. And then they see this place. And for the New Yorkers, it's like, okay, New York is snow and all that. This is sunshine. A lot of Caribbean people who are in New York have been there for decades. So for them, this is like in between, close to home, so to speak, you know, weather-wise. And then, you know, it is the black mecca, upwardly mobile blacks and so on. It's like, you know, and not saying that Caribbean people are only blacks, but we're predominantly African. But, you know, we have many other races there. But that's besides the point.
Now, where are folks coming from? Because we just spoke with a Haitian American. In terms of people coming from the Caribbean, where are folks coming from?
All over. Jamaica, Haiti, Guyana, Virgin Islands, and Trinidad, and Dominican Republic are probably the top ones out of the 35 Caribbean countries. But, you know, it's all over. You see, I didn't give you the second factor, which was the Olympics. The carnival and the Olympics really exposed Atlanta to everybody. And so once that happened, it was just a mass exodus. I mean, before 96, there are estimates of maybe 20,000 to 30,000 Caribbean people here. Well, now it's at 200,000 and growing rapidly.
That's in the metro area.
And that's in the greater metro area, mainly Stone Mountain, Lithonia, and Decatur.
Right,
easily 80% of the Caribbean people are in that area.
Wow. Now, Misale, the African community in Atlanta is also diverse. We were speaking with people from East Africa, West Africa. And why don't you break it down for us, not just in terms of where people are from, but also, like all groups of immigrants, Africans come sometimes voluntarily in the sense of, you know, wanting to come to the U.S. and sometimes having to relocate as refugees. Does that make a difference in how people enter the life here?
Yes, I think it does. You know, there is a lot of people that relocate to Atlanta from the United States, and I think for those people, the factor that is positive is the cost of living being low and in the metropolitan area. But for the people, I think, that come as refugees or that are first comers into the United States and come to Atlanta or Georgia specifically, I think those people tend to come where they know somebody, whether it's a family member or a friend that can accommodate them until they adjust. So those two factors, I think, come into play for the newcomers into the area.
So we spoke to an Eritrean man, and what about the East African community, people from Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia? Is that a big community?
It is a very large community. Probably there are larger communities in other parts of the United States, like Washington, D.C. and California, but I think Atlanta has grown tremendously in the last decade, and you previously mentioned, the Olympics had a huge play in that, and that it highlighted the region, and a lot of people started migrating at least from other parts of the United States into Atlanta or around.
Well, let's get into some of your personal stories, Jason. How did you enter this country? I mean, were you following someone else who was a relative?
Let me tell you something. This is what's crazy. I didn't even think about leaving Jamaica. Finished high school. You know, I was working a little bit. I did what we call sixth form, which is like in between high school and university. I was about to go to the University of the West Indies in Jamaica. I worked for a couple of years, so I was going to go there. And I wanted to do 2 degrees at the same time. Now, you didn't offer these 2 degrees at the same time for anybody. So I was like, well, I'm going to take my SATs and see what's going to happen. Did the SATs, got a good score. So all these universities are right to me. And I was like, well, I'm going to America. It was a last-minute decision. Now, I chose Atlanta because at the time, this was 91, 92. At the time, Atlanta wasn't known for a Caribbean population. See, I'm a DJ. I'm a DJ from Jamaica. I knew if I went to Florida, which is another second Caribbean, I would be distracted immediately. If I went to New York, there's no two ways about it. I would immediately be get involved in the entertainment scene and so on. So Atlanta, nothing was going on. Focus on my schoolwork. So that's actually why I came to Atlanta, to make sure I could do well in my studies. But all that didn't work because within a year, I had my own radio show.
You were DJing again.
head of a Caribbean organization. I was involved in everything. I guess that's part of my nature.
Ms. Ale, how did you enter life in Atlanta? Did you come from someplace else in the U.S., or how did that all work?
Well, initially I came in the early 80s when I came to the United States. I was going to a boarding school in Kentucky, but I had family in Atlanta, so I would come vacation here. And then as I finished high school, I went to Georgia State undergrad and then law school at Georgia State. Then I left Atlanta and moved to California, where a lot of immigrants were at the time, and I was doing immigration law. And I came back again 3 years ago to Atlanta, and I'm settled here now. And I think I'm part of the story of basically trying to find an area in the United States where you could have a fair cost of living so you can live the lifestyle that you want, especially having kids and wanting to spend time with them and not work as much. So I think I came for a different reason this time.
What about the whole issue of immigration law? It's a time when there are people who can wait a couple of years for citizenship, you know, because there's a backlog in terms of processing. There are questions about sanctuary cities and people who don't have papers. What kind of work do you do?
I do broad aspects of the immigration practice, you know, from people are filing for asylum, political asylum, et cetera, deportation defense and citizenship, basically anything that has to do with immigration, I do. And a lot of the people that come from Africa, specifically East Africa, are either coming as refugees or asylees, or they're having family members here petition for them. And that's majority of the work that I do.
Jason, we were just talking with TV anchor Monica Pearson, and she was saying one of the things that she enjoys, and I'm with her on this score, about the level of immigration here is that it's opened up the diversity of cuisine.
Yes.
What has it done for music since you're a DJ?
Well, it's interesting. It clearly, because there's such large immigrant communities, we are a lot of it's economically viable for promoters to bring artists here from, you know, all types of African and Caribbean artists to this city. Unfortunately, unlike Florida, D.C. or New York, we're still very segmented, you know. Interestingly, Ethiopians and Caribbean people have been working from day one. One of the longest-running successful Caribbean locations, well, shouldn't say Caribbean, international locations, was the historic Royal Peacock. By the way, where Ray Charles had performed when he started, and Gladys Knight and so on. Anyway, Ethiopian owner working with Caribbean promoters, and that used to be the place for everything, a mecca for everything from Sunday to Sunday for Ethiopian and Caribbean communities. However, it's still very segmented because if you speak to the average, even though the carnival draws hundreds of thousands of people to it each year, if you ask an average American who doesn't necessarily hang out with Caribbean people if they know there's a carnival here. They'll be like, what are you talking about? Which is crazy because the whole city locks down for, well, at least the downtown area locks down for it. So I'm not too sure where the connect is. The diversity is there, the variety is there, but the whole population is not necessarily embracing that diversity.
Yes, we've heard that from other folks. Ms. Ali, are you aware of or afraid of tensions with U.S.-born Americans, which sometimes flare up in tough economic times, and we're in those times?
Well, I'm not sure if it's tension exactly, but I think there needs to be more support for the newcomers, and the region has to be embracing them because, you know, the diversity makes America what it is, and the newcomers are sort of shunned, and with immigration policies tightening up, they really don't have a voice, and we are to blame too. The people that have been here longer need to be the connection point between the newcomers and the native-born, because the people that have been here for a long time have made their connections and are very well connected within the city or the country and are able to lobby their interests, and we just need to make sure the people that do not have a voice are heard. And in the end, it affects everyone, whether it's illegal immigrants or legal immigrants. A lot of the biases and prejudices will affect the legal immigrants as well.
Jason, do you see any generational differences with younger people perhaps mixing more, or is it across the board that people don't mix?
It depends on the situation. So a younger person who, I guess you're referring to the Caribbean person.
To right. Caribbean or to immigrants and right. immigrants and native-born you know, folks in Atlanta.
If it's a younger person that's directly from the Caribbean, there's a lot of things that they don't understand. When you especially if, say, you come from a predominantly dark race nation, you don't recognize, say, the things that, say, a person of African descent is going through in this country. You don't conceptualize that. And because you don't conceptualize that, there's a lot of misunderstanding which leads to a separation, you know, and also a misinterpretation of cues, thinking that these cues mean something negative instead of it's coming out to something else. Now, the younger person, the younger Caribbean descent, well, immigrant descent person who's actually always either born here or maybe it's been here a while, I mean, that person has overcome a lot of those things, and they actually do mix, you know, with the dominant group.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us here.
We were just speaking with Misali Ayele, an Atlanta-based immigration attorney originally from Ethiopia, and Jason Walker, a journalist and community activist. He's a native of Jamaica, and he joined me in the studios of our member station WCLK in Atlanta, Georgia.